live from the place where you're not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and as always, streaming on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We got a whole lot to do today. Let's start it off, though, not with the best two words in sports. I would say they're the second best two words in sports, because I do think the best two words in sports are world champions. But then the second best two words in sports would be Game 7. And we now have a Game 7 coming up on Sunday afternoon between the Oklahoma City Thunder, the preeminent team in the NBA this year so far, up against the Denver Nuggets, who on their home court last night, at times, it looked like there would not be a Game 7. But then you had a very big third quarter by the Denver Nuggets, where Christian Brown was sensational. He finished the game with 23 points. You also had Julian Schrother, the kid from Gonzaga. He had a very good unexpected game. He shot 75% from three, and he finished the contest with 15 points as well. And really, you look at Jamal Murray. If this was 3 years ago and Jamal Murray woke up sick, he would not have played. So Jamal Murray, who was battling something last night, an illness last night, you know, the flu, whatever it was, he ended up having 25 points in the contest. And Nikola Jokic had a good game, where he was 9 of 14 from the field and finished with 29 points. So enough for the Denver Nuggets to keep their season alive and send this back to Oklahoma City. So you look at this series, it's so intriguing for two reasons. One, and I hate to do this because it goes against what I usually say, I don't usually like to use the MVP race as a debate in the postseason, because the MVP is already decided upon, and the MVP is for a regular season award. But with that being said, the two biggest names for the MVP this year, and I do believe that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander will win the award, it's between Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Nikola Jokic. So if Nikola Jokic wins this playoff series, and then it comes out a little bit later on that SGA wins the MVP, it will feel a little fugazi. It'll be like, all right, congratulations, SGA. You won the MVP, but come playoff time, up against who a lot of people believe is the best player in the sport. Not a lot of people. Everyone believes he's the best player in the sport. If you're not at this point, you're just a certified hater. But what does it really mean if you win the MVP, but then you lose the postseason series to Nikola Jokic, where it was a year where Nikola Jokic, he was great, he was sensational, we all know that. And maybe there's a little MVP fatigue with Nikola Jokic, but literally 3 games before the postseason started, the Denver Nuggets said goodbye to their general manager in Calvin Booth, and also said goodbye to their head coach in Michael Malone. And let's be real, it's not like this Denver team is deep. They played 8 guys last night. So this is not a deep basketball team, where when you look at a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're a lot deeper than the Denver Nuggets. And the Thunder are a better team. But there's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. Going into Game 7 on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. So get ready to feature your Sunday around probably, hopefully, an exciting end to the PGA Championship, but really a Game 7 between the Denver Nuggets and the Oklahoma City Thunder in Oklahoma. You're going to look at Oklahoma City, and this is a massive moment in their franchise. Because you look at not only what it means for this round, but what lies ahead. If Oklahoma City wins, they go on to face the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's not a lock that they win that series, but they're expected to win that series. And on the other side, you have the Indiana Pacers already through. And in all likelihood, it's not a guarantee, but I still feel confident saying this, I do think the Knicks find a way to get one more victory up against the Boston Celtics without Jason Tatum. And the New York Knicks would then be going to the Eastern Conference Finals. So if you told the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, a fan of them before the postseason, that you would go to the conference finals and neither Cleveland nor Boston would be there in the East, you wouldn't even probably ask, well, who are you playing in the West? Because you were the number one seed in the West. You would feel good about your chances about winning a championship. And this is a Thunder team And we've seen young teams before, right? Especially in the NBA, I think it gets more documented than ever. It's almost as if you need a few years of pain before you break through. Sure, can you put together a team and can that team be instantly successful? Yes. But usually it needs to be like full of veterans. You look at the Celtics. I'm pretty sure their first year that Big Three was formed, they won a championship. You even look at the Miami Heat when they put together Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. They even had some struggles. Now, they made the finals every year, the 4 years that that trio was together. But in year one, they made it to the finals and they lost to the Dallas Mavericks in a series where no one was picking the Dallas Mavericks. So for the Oklahoma City Thunder, they have a lot of young players. SGA, one of the top five players in the NBA. You know, you got Chet Holmgren, you got the Williams, you also have Isaiah Hartenstein, right? Like, this is a newer team, even though this has been a group now where they've had some additions that they have been together the last few years. But this is an Oklahoma City Thunder team that last year, they were the number one overall seed, and this was an Oklahoma City Thunder team that didn't get to where they were supposed to go. So how much have you grown, and are you similar to a team that last year was the number one overall seed in the West? Yeah, you quickly disposed of the New Orleans Pelicans. You quickly won your first round matchup this year. But then in round number two, you got upset by the Dallas Mavericks. And sure, last year the Mavericks had Luka Doncic and you had Kyrie Irving. And that was the team that was together in Dallas. But this year, you walked into this series. And yes, obviously the best player in the sport may not be the most valuable player this year, but the best player in the sport was Nikola Jokic. And that's not nothing to sneeze at. That's not going to be an easy victory. But you are clearly the better team. And when you won game five in the fashion you did so, in resilient fashion, I'm not slamming you for losing game six, but you can't afford to lose game seven. Because if you lose game seven, even though you're going to be competitive and you're going to be right in the mix the next few years, and you will still have a chance to win a championship, it will be a missed opportunity and a blown opportunity. With all that being said, though, from a basketball fan standpoint, and I don't have a dog in a fight here. Like, I'm not a Nuggets fan. I'm not an Oklahoma City Thunder fan. I don't love either team. I don't hate either team. Now, I was a big believer in the Denver Nuggets with that duo of Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, and that was going back to the bubble. Is the first time I said, without a doubt, they're going to win an NBA championship one day. And you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, at a time, was one of the most underappreciated players in the league. You know, I know it's easy now for Doc Rivers to say it, but he wasn't thrilled with the thought process at the time when he was with the Clippers of having to trade Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Now, I get why the Clippers did what they did in getting Paul George and pairing him up with Kawhi Leonard, because at the time, the Clippers needed an identity. The Clippers needed new life. The Clippers needed an established star. But what SGA has now done in OKC, being the face of that franchise and being the lead guy, all this pressure goes on them Sunday afternoon at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time, because if the Thunder lose, to me, there are two stories here. So you look at it from both sides. If the Thunder lose, the reaction is they're not ready. This is a young group. They're going through their tough moments. Maybe they could aspire to one day be the Boston Celtics, who overachieved early, then underachieved for a bunch of years, and then punched through to go win an NBA championship. But you would then see teams like Cleveland, teams like the Oklahoma City Thunder go down in the second round. And there's more of a tangible feel, I think, and a legitimate feel that Oklahoma City is closer to winning a championship than Cleveland. But both of those teams have very good players, great players, and they haven't been able to get out of the second round. So that would be the case once again for OKC, where that's, and people usually write negative storyline sell. And we usually, a lot of times, fair or not, lead with the negative. But that would be one of the highlight stories. On the other end, though, and I'll say it, I'm not telling you the Nuggets are going to win. Like, if you put a gun to my head before Game 7 on Sunday and said, Zach, your life is on the line, who's going to win this series? I'm going to take Oklahoma City. But the team that I'm actually rooting for to win here are actually the Denver Nuggets. And it has nothing to do with Jamal Murray. It has nothing to do with Aaron Gordon. It has nothing to do with Christian Brown. It has nothing to do with Michael Porter Jr. or the kid from Gonzaga that came off the bench last night. It has everything to do with Nikola Jokic. Because what we're watching right now is greatness. What we're watching right now is one of the greatest NBA players I've ever seen. And what he does night in and night out, even though it may not be the greatest thing to look at in terms of what you envision a superstar in the year of 2025 in the NBA, it's breathtaking, it's jaw-dropping, and it leaves you speechless. And he slows down the game and makes it look so easy and so effortless. And that's what I love about Nikola Jokic. But think about the resume of the Joker. He's already won 3 NBA MVPs. He's already won an NBA championship. He's already won a finals MVP. And I'm not comparing him necessarily to LeBron, but you look at LeBron James and what he's done now, what, for 22 years? Yeah, because Doris Burke always says, he's in year 22, LeBron James, right? You always get that from Doris Burke on the broadcast. LeBron in 22 years, and LeBron is considered one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Most people consider him the second greatest player of all time. LeBron, NBA championships 4 NBA Finals MVPs, and only, kind of seems like crazy that LeBron hasn't won an NBA MVP since 2013, but that's the fatigue. LeBron has only won 4 NBA MVPs. You look at the Joker right now, who is 30. So Nikola Jokic is 10 years younger than LeBron James, as LeBron James right now is 40 years old. So he already has 3 NBA MVPs. And you look at LeBron, who has been the number 2 when LeBron won championships? Well, in Cleveland, it was Kyrie. In Miami, it was Dwayne Wade. And in Los Angeles, it was Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, Dwayne Wade, and Kyrie Irving, all better players than the number 2 that Nikola Jokic has. And that's Jamal Murray. And that's nothing against Jamal Murray. It's just a fact. It's not even up for debate. So you look at that and you see Nikola Jokic. What he's already doing is ridiculous. And I would already say, in terms of the all-time career, I would rather have Nikola Jokic over Kevin Durant. But with that being said, Nikola Jokic, he's in a top 20 NBA player, right, of all time. He's one of the best NBA players I've ever seen. But that next championship is going to just skyrocket his career, where he doesn't really need it to be skyrocketed. If he retires tomorrow, as I said, one of the 20 greatest basketball players in the history of the game. But if he wins a second championship in Denver, that's just a ridiculous thing. Especially when you look at his team, he doesn't have a super team. He has a good team, but no one is freaking out and going nuts with the core that they have assembled with the Denver Nuggets. And what would make this even more impressive is he would be doing it right now basically with him being the coach. They got rid of their coach and general manager 3 games before the postseason started. We talked about it when it happened, a month ago? And we said, kind of out on Denver making a championship run now. So they got through the first round. It's one thing to get through the first round. And now you have what is considered the best team in the league on the ropes, and you have them where all the pressure is on them. And you're going to their place, but let's be real. I know your season ends if you lose, but you really have nothing to lose. If the Nuggets lose this game on Sunday afternoon, are we sitting here and we slamming the Denver Nuggets? No. Are we sitting here and are we saying, Nikola Jokic is going to request a trade? No. But if the Thunder lose, we're slamming the Nuggets on Sunday. But the story can be Nikola Jokic, and if the Joker gives you one of these crazy performances, it still may not be good enough to get the victory. We saw him just basically be Superman in Game 5, and it wasn't enough. But that's what the Thunder have done now. They have left it where I wouldn't say this game is a coin flip, but I would say it's a 55% chance the Thunder win the game. And it is very tough to bet against Nikola Jokic. I do think the Thunder will win. But as a basketball fan that isn't, right, a Nuggets fan, isn't a Thunder fan, I think the history part of this and the storyline, like what's a better storyline? SGA going for his first, the Oklahoma City Thunder looking for a championship, or Nikola Jokic with the lesser team, who's already a three-time NBA MVP, who's already a finals MVP and an NBA champion. When you look at the three-time NBA MVP, the finals MVP, and the NBA championship that he won, trying to get that second, and then if he does get that second, it puts him in a totally different conversation, moving him up the list, where he's already in an elite spot, but it just makes him in an elite fraternity in the annals of NBA history. So on Sunday, I would rather see Nikola Jokic go have an awesome performance, ball out, and win a series that probably they had no business of winning, rather than seeing the Oklahoma City Thunder with the young, fun team. Like, they are a young, fun team, have their moment to propel them into a Western Conference Finals, where they'll be a favorite up against the Minnesota Timberwolves. But the best player remaining in the postseason, and I think the player people still trust the most in this postseason, would then be Anthony Edwards. So I'm looking more forward to, on Sunday, the possibility of the upset with Nikola Jokic and then that would do and what that would do for his legacy. All right, this is Zach Gilb showing the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Do you want to see something new in the NBA with the Thunder winning it all? Or would you rather see the legacy of Nikola Jokic just continue to write chapter after chapter and continue to move up that all-time list? What say you once again, 888-710-4476. We got Game 6 tonight between the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics. We will talk about that on the other side as we are off and running on a very busy Friday right here on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. If you're a Knicks fan, I don't think you get nervous yet. I know it's the playoffs. I understand all the pressure is on you tonight. And this was a series that was 3-1. I was there for Game 4. It was an electric environment. You had a very, just like kind of Game 5, a very back and forth first half. You know, the Celtics were the better team in Game 4 in the first half. Between the Celtics and the Knicks in Game 5, it was very even. But then in the third quarter, the Knicks came alive. The Knicks dominated the third quarter up against the Boston Celtics in Game 4, and they ended up winning the game. In game number 5, the Boston Celtics dominated the third quarter, and the Celtics ended up winning the game. So tonight, I expect it to be another tight game early. I expect it to be a close game early. The Boston Celtics, I do not think, are the better team without Jason Tatum. I know some people are trying to make that case. But for the New York Knicks, I don't think it's a crazy formula here, folks. It is obvious how the Knicks end up beating the Celtics. And I know they came back from down 20 points twice in the first two games of the series. But you look at it from the three games since, games 3, games 4, and games 5, the formula, what happens here is this. The New York Knicks are going to get what they're going to get from Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns. Like, Jalen Brunson, you know, for the most part, even when he doesn't play well, he's still going to get you 25, 26 points. Can he go well north of that? Can he close in on 40 points? Can he give you 40 points? Absolutely. But even when Jalen Brunson doesn't play at his best, he's still going to be productive. Now, Karl Anthony Towns, he will usually get you a double-double, but there are moments, even in Game 4 when he played well and he came alive, where you're looking at Kat and you're saying, wow, how lethargic can you be? How disinterested can you be when you're on a basketball court? And there are moments like that with Karl Anthony Towns. But for the most part, I feel good that Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns are going to be a positive tonight for the New York Knicks. The two players I really have a sharp eye on and a keen eye on, one of OG Anunoby or Mikal Bridges are going to have to get you at least 18 points. And I don't know what's going on with OG Anunoby. There are times where he's great defensively and gives you nothing on the offensive end. OG did tweak his hamstring in Game 4. Last year, I was there up against the Pacers where he had a huge hamstring injury in game number 2, and he ran right past me screaming, oh bleep, oh bleep, oh bleep, oh bleep. And then people were debating, oh, is he going to come back this series? And I go, even if he does, I don't think he's going to give you much. But in game four, he tweaked it. He came back. He was good. But in game five, he gave you nothing on the offensive end. Mikal Bridges in game five really gave you nothing on the offensive end. And it was reminiscent of game three, where I don't remember what they combined for in game five, but in game three, Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby combined for 14 points. 14 points. With how much you're paying OG Anunoby, with the picks that you gave up for Mikal Bridges, and Mikal Bridges had his moments this postseason, and so is OG Anunoby, in a closeout spot tonight, those guys can't be no-shows. And I'm not saying both of them need to go score 18-plus points, just one of them. And if Jalen Brunson gives you his 27, 28 points, and maybe it's more of that, but just using that as the minimum, and Karl Anthony Towns gives you about 20 and like 13 or whatever it is, and one of OG Anunoby or Mikal Bridges give you at least 18-plus, I'd be surprised if the Knicks don't win tonight. Like Boston, it was the heart of the champion in Game 5. Boston in Game 5, you had a very good performance by Jaylen Brown, even though he's trying to grab the junk of some other guys in the other team. But him as a player had a really good Game 5. You had some other guys step up that were unexpected. But ultimately, this is a game where if the New York Knicks lose this tonight, I'm not saying that they can't win Game 7. But man, I would not want this to go back to Boston. I would not feel good about that going back to Boston, because look how quickly it could change just when you have home advantage. And I know we all try to kind of take away the home court advantage in the playoffs with what the records have been and all that. But that was a Knicks-Celtics game in Game 5 where it looked like it was going to be a dogfight. It looked like it was going to be a slugfest. It looked like it was going right down to the wire. And in that third quarter, it got away from the Knicks rather quickly. And the Knicks were in the bonus with 9 minutes left in the third quarter or something like that. And that Boston crowd got going. And once that crowd got going, it was kind of the Knicks just said, and it's disappointing that the Knicks approach it this way, but the Knicks just said, you know what, we'll pack it in. We'll mail it in. We'll go back to our place at Madison Square Garden for what is a game number six tonight. Now, the ticket prices for tonight, let's see what it is to get in. I am not going tonight. But the ticket prices to get in, if you just wanted one ticket, if you just needed one ticket, you didn't care where you were. Actually, let me just do this on my phone, because on my phone I have the fees and everything included. When they give you just a number and then they say, oh, fees processing, that doesn't help. Well, wow, it's actually down tonight. One ticket down tonight. And you get multiple seats in this section. Section 415, row 3. So it's behind the basket in the upper deck. Costs you $5.30 a ticket. And that's actually down from where it was, where it was about like $640, $650. So over $100 down to get into the building, just be in the building and be sitting all the way at the tippy-tippy top of an 18,000-person building in Madison Square Garden. You could get in for what isn't a very low price, but $558 tonight, or $530, actually. $530, excuse me, is what the lowest price is right now for 415 row 3. I saw something. So the Panthers are looking to advance tonight, and the Florida Panthers are looking to put the Toronto Maple Leafs down into into a casket, which, geez, that series was 2-0. You didn't like the way that I said that? Put them into a casket?
Nah, just poor Leafs fans.
Yeah, they're up 2-0 in this series. They're up 2-0 in this series. They're now down 3-2. It's one thing, right, in a hockey series. You win the first two on your home ice, then you go to the road in Florida, you lose two. Game number three, I understand it's not a lock that you're going to win, but at one point that was 6-0. 6-0! So the cheapest ticket tonight for Panthers and Leafs, what do you think it is? And this is in Florida tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time puck drop. What do you think the cheapest ticket is to get into a Florida Panthers hockey game for the defending Stanley Cup champions?
I'll say $300.
Samter?
I'm going to go $180.
See, this just shows you how New York we are in the prices. $120. $120 is the cheapest ticket to get in tonight in Florida. Now, I'll take this even one step further. Let's go Oklahoma City, Game 7. All right, before I even look at it, What do you think the cheapest ticket is? Oklahoma City, Sunday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern time, game 7. Now, Florida, right? Like, you don't think of the Florida Panthers fan as the most rabid fan in the world, the most craziest fan in the world. With that being said, though, they do have a good fan base. They're on the Rats and all that stuff. They just won a Stanley Cup. But I'm not surprised it only costs you, like, what I said, $1.20 to get into the building. Tonight for the Knicks, it's going to cost you $5.30 is the cheapest ticket right now that you can get on SeatGeek. Maybe that will get a dip into the fours potentially if you wait and have that patience all the way up until 8 p.m. Eastern time. Before I even look, let's just do this blind. What do you think Oklahoma City Game 7, worst seat in the house, cheapest ticket on the secondary market is, Stu? What would be your guess?
$2.30.
$2.30. Samter.
Game 7, I'm going to go $3.50.
I'm going to go prices right here. So you said $2.30 and $2.50 were your two guesses?
Yes.
Now, what happens on Price is Right if I guess and we're all over? Is it just who was the lowest on the over?
No, then they just, you know.
Then it just goes, and they ask you a new question? Okay. I feel like it's in the twos, but I feel like it's in the low twos. So I want to be safe here. I don't think it's $2.30 or $2.50. I'll say $1.70. $1.70.
See, if you go on Price is Right, you go $1.
Yeah, but that's okay, fine, $1. I'll go $1 here. Here we go. Cheapest ticket. Game 7. This is 2:30 Central. $1.93. And that's crazy. Today. That's today. To get into the building for Sunday. So you would imagine that's going to even go down even more. So I would have won there. Wow, that's wild. You know what? Let's just do this for a comparison. Regular season baseball game in the Bronx tonight. Now it's Mets-Yankees at Subway Series. Oh my God. The worst seat in the house. 40CB Row 12. That's in the outfield in the upper deck at Yankee Stadium. $1.62. So basically, you could pay the same price for a Game 7 worst seat in the house for Thunder Nuggets, right? With one of the greatest players ever, Nikola Jokic, and a young star in this league who's a top five player right now, who's probably the MVP this year, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Same price as basically tonight in New York to go see a regular season baseball game, Juan Soto, Francisco Lindor, up against Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees, Mets Yankees.
I think it's time for us to move.
Yeah, if I can make my salary now in like Oklahoma City, I would love it. It would be awesome. You know, I could actually enjoy the money that goes into my bank account. All righty, this is Zach Yelp Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Knicks Celtics predictions tonight. Stu, who do you think wins?
I think the Knicks get it done.
Samter, you going Knicks or Celtics?
Celtics all the way.
Oh, boy. And I have to break the tie here.
Yeah, the Celtics are better without Tatum. They're tougher.
Oh, stop. That's a dumb argument. Emmanuel Acho, Samter. Didn't Emmanuel Acho make that argument?
He did. He said
and
they're
KD
tougher.
Was all annoyed?
Yes.
Oh, stop it, baloney. I'll say the Knicks win tonight. I'm going to say the Knicks win tonight 103-94. The New York Knicks win tonight and they advance to the conference finals up against the Indiana Pacers. Now, real quickly, before we get to ACK, I was actually looking at the conference finals. I'm contemplating actually going to Indianapolis for the conference finals if the Knicks are there. So this is like the ultimate touch the money spot. But that series, I'm at Ian Begley's page. There we go. Yep. Wednesday would be game one here in New York, Wednesday, Friday. Then on Memorial Day weekend, it's Sunday, Tuesday. I have an event that I have to go to Saturday, so I don't know if I'm going to Indianapolis Sunday, Tuesday. I did look for game 6, though. 6 in Indiana, 5:31. I have a $250 flight credit. Their flight's under $250. So maybe I was thinking I'll get a press pass, go watch Knicks Pacers if that is the Eastern Conference Finals, and I'll spend less than 24 hours in Indianapolis, where I would go, fly in Saturday morning, and then fly back Sunday morning, and you know, probably be in and out there in less than 24 hours. Maybe I have to sneak on over to St. Elmo's.
I heard In-N-Out. That's all I was thinking of.
They have In-N-Out in Indianapolis?
No, but you said In-N-Out, thinking of the burger.
Double-double animal style is what Samter was saying.
Yes!
Oh, man. Now I'm kind of craving Shake Shack because it's in the proximity of our studios. You think I could get, you know, do we have anyone here in the studios today, just wondering? Like, is there...
I don't think anyone's working today.
No one's working tape? Jeez. I was going to say, I was going to give them $20 to go to my apartment. I got to the studio today. I was doing laundry, and I forgot that I left my laundry in the dryer. So I was going to say, oh, go have them go to my apartment and get the laundry out. That's what I was thinking.
Can you explain to people what exactly was in the dryer that you left?
Yeah. So it's so stupid. My cleaning lady, she came over and cleaned the apartment, and I have a mop. And you have to unscrew the mop head, and there's a towel. And I, you know, today I had some errands to do, so I put in the washer, came back, then showered, put in the dryer, and I was like, oh, I'll take the mop and the cloth out of the dryer. And I started to get a little frazzled a little bit because I'm trying to get to work, and I don't live here far, but it starts downpouring in the city. And I'm going to my parents' house this weekend, so I'm at golf clubs. I have, you know, a weekend bag and my work bag. So I'm carrying all this stuff. I'm like, I don't want to take the subway and walk in the rain and just get drenched because I wouldn't even have a hand to hold up an umbrella. And then I go to my Uber. I live 8 minutes. I'm an 8-minute drive here. They wanted $40 on Uber to get here. So I said, I'm not doing that. I'm going to be a real New Yorker. I'm going to hail a cab and pay $15. And I get to the studio here, and we're sitting right in front of the show. It's 2:50, and I just said to Stu, oh, truck. That's what I said to Stu. And I forgot the mop and the cloth in the dryer. Now, it's a communal washer dryer in my apartment. Someone will probably take that out and put it on the counter. And I'm coming back this weekend, so I could grab it then. But I have a 6:40 train that I need to make. 6:40 train at Penn Station. Now, I can get to my apartment via subway in 5 minutes, and then it's about 18 minutes if I hit the right express. Actually, 13 minutes if I hit the express. 18 minutes, though, from my apartment to Penn Station. So now I'm going to have to schlep all my bags back to my apartment, and I'm going to have to then go get the mop head and the cloth out of the dryer, put it back into my apartment, and then go get the train, which is a block away from my apartment. So I think I'm going to do the Samter dash right after the show. I'm going to say goodbye to you guys and get right to my apartment and then try to make it right up to Penn Station. All right. Anyway, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. But, you know, I don't know what. My brain's been just off this week. I don't know what's going on, but I've just been very, very sloppy.
Still recovering from Vegas?
No, I don't even think it's that. Maybe it was a luxury box for the Knicks game. Too many whiskey gingers and stuff. I'm getting old, folks. I drink one night out of the week, and I'm like donezo. I'm donezo for the rest of the week. It's crazy.
Welcome to hell.
Or maybe I'm just stupid. That's probably what it is. All righty, let's get to a man who isn't stupid. He's standing by with the latest sports flash. That, of course, is the erudite, Rich Ackerman. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sports Center, at Zach Gelb, using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Dave Portnoy, like a month ago, was looking for recommendations for pizza spots. He goes, in New York, doing pizza reviews, does anyone have a spot that we haven't done yet? So I recently had this new pizza spot. I think it's pronounced Ceres. It's spelled C-E-R-E-S. And it's good pizza. It's really good pizza. You know, it's up there. John's on Bleecker Street. It's up there with La Industrie. I still think that bacon fig jam slice from La Industrie is the best slice that I've had recently. My favorite pizza ever is probably New Haven. Like, if you're ever in New Haven, Connecticut, and you could do a little pizza tour. Oh, chef's kiss. Like, phenomenal. But, so Portnoy, this is on April 24th, he said, I'm doing a day of pizza in New York and New Jersey area next week. Are there any must hits that I haven't done and you need to try? So I put these two photos of this place called Ceres, which my friend, his friend is one of the owners of it. And it's two guys that own the whole place, and they make all the pizzas together. They're like young guys. And I said, my favorite in New York City is the industry, but you've already done it. New spot Saris is good. Feel like it's your kind of pizza on the first pie, and it's at 164 Mott Street. So, like, when I went there a few weeks ago, or like a month ago, it was about a 30-minute wait. Like, you walked in, you placed the pizza, you got a number, and they brought the pizza to the table. And we got a... It was a plain pie, three of us, and the plain pie was like 40-something bucks. And then there was a $65 pie, and it had sausage on it, and I guess the sausage is imported from someplace, I don't know. So that's what makes it a $65 pie. Like, no pizza pie should be $65, but that what it was. It was good pizza. So Portnoy did a review there the other day, and I guess he loved the tomato pie, which I didn't have when I was there. Quite like, if I go back, my friend was like, oh, we got to order pies. You could order slices. Now, I'm sure you're not going to be able to order slices anymore after Portnoy goes there. It's probably going to be pies only. But I wish that I ordered slices there. But Portnoy gave the pizza a 9.2. Like, I can't remember the last time Dave Portnoy gave a pizza score in the nines. Or even the high eights, if we're being serious. High eights, I've seen some of the reviews. So Portnoy gives this place a 9.2. They were sold out yesterday. Like, when I went over a month ago, I waited 30 minutes, and they only have a certain amount of dough each and every day. And I left the show at 6. I didn't meet my friends at 7:30. And they said, we just got to get in there before 8, and we'll be fine. They were sold out yesterday. They had to take a pizza box, right, sold out, and, like, hang it from the store. They were sold out by 2:30 p.m. Eastern time yesterday. So this place is, like, it was already really damn good. This place is just going to go off the charts now. This is going to be one of the toughest pizza slices or pizza pies to get in the city. Like, La Industry takes forever. Whenever I get La Industry for the staff here, I order it the night before or the morning of, and I'm able to order ahead and do a little pick up the pies at, like, 2 o'clock or something. And that's right around here. So John's on Bleecker, Ceres, La Industry, and then the pepperoni slice from Prince Street Pizza is damn good. But you know what we got to do as a show? We got to go to Danny and Coop's. That's the Bradley Cooper cheesesteak spot here in the city, where it's Angelo's from Philadelphia. The owner of Angelo's just teamed up with Bradley Cooper, and they made Danny and Coop's here in New York City, which Angelo's right now is considered to be the preeminent cheesesteak in Philadelphia. So we got to have Danny and Coop's, because that I keep on seeing... Now all my TikTok, well, I'm not even on TikTok, my Reels, all I see now is Ceres Pizza and then also Danny and Coop's. And it's Bradley Cooper's cheesesteak spot and then Ceres Pizza. These two guys, they're going to be filthy rich now. Portnoy goes there and gives you a 9.2 and says one of the best pies he's ever had. Oh, my goodness gracious. These guys are going to be rolling in dough. Pizza dough and money. They're going to be rolling in dough at Ceres. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Because I have friends, they're brothers. They're like very good friends of mine. And they like slobber over this pizza. I'm like, are you guys like basic? Like if I took blood out of you, would it just be Ceres Pizza? Because they have had this pizza. It's only been open, I think, for a few months. I see them at least there once a week posting on Instagram. Now, they were loyal from the beginning. You know, they should be able to get us to the front of the line. You know, if we wanted to taste the pizza on the air, you know, should be able to get us to the front of the line. We'll pay for the pies. Don't get me wrong, but I wonder if we could send someone there and get a pie. Well, they'd be closed before the show even starts. We start at 3 p.m. Eastern time.
Have to send them, like, early afternoon and hope they get, like, one of the last ones and then they're back in time for the show.
Hey, EJ, you're back from Cabo. You're done with the morning show? All right, we'll pay you. Go to Ceres. Bring us the pie so we can have something at 2 o'clock when we all walk into the building. I just saw this from Andrew Filipponi via Mark Cabali, who covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for a long time. He now covers them for the Pat McAfee show. Cabali said this, quote, I believe Aaron Rodgers will be a Steeler by the end of the month, in close quotes. It's May 16th. We are approaching the end of the month. Memorial Day is next weekend. By the way, are you guys, Stu, you're off on Friday, right, next week?
Yes, Friday and Monday.
And Santa, are you here 5 days a week next week, Mike? Are you here 5 days a week next week?
Yeah.
Okay. You look very confused. I would hope that you know your schedule. And I'm here 5 days a week next week. We're all off on that Monday, right? You guys all talk off on Monday, right? 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 Okay, cool. Do you guys do anything Memorial Day? Obviously, an important day to remember people that paid the ultimate sacrifice, but what do you end up doing on Memorial Day?
The pool in my apartment opens that weekend, so that's a big pool weekend.
Stewed by the pool. Got a few adult beverages and a few of your special stuff right by the pool. Is that what you're going to do, though? You have a barbecue in your apartment complex?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you grilling? Yes. Do you grill?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I will.
So what? Yeah, just burger and dogs?
Probably burgers
do
and hot
chicken
dogs.
Chicken steak?
I don't usually do the steaks on the grill, but maybe something I'll try down the road.
When do you grill all year round, Santa? Because I know you were very big into the grill when you moved to your house in Connecticut, but I haven't heard about the grill since you first moved there.
Oh, I love to grill still. And now that it's getting nice again, the weather's been so crappy, whether it was cold or now that it's just raining so much every single day, it's been hard to grill, but I've got a bunch of meats in the fridge and the freezer ready to go.
Like, are you guys both actually good on the grill? You're like guys that just say, yeah, I'm great on the grill, and then you actually get to the grill.
I would say great.
Suck.
I throw stuff on the grill, that's all.
Okay, so you're like a 6 out of 10.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
You've tasted some of my stuff. I'll let you be the judge.
I don't think I've ever tasted any of your stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've seen the wings.
I've seen it, yeah.
No, right.
I don't know how much your wife's doing that. I don't know if it's if you deliver it and bring it in and you're pretending to be some big chef. I don't know. I feel like grilling for you is a big, like, rite of passage for Michael Santer.
It's important.
Yeah. Oh, just saying. I don't know. I'll trust what Santer would bring in, but I think you should maybe do a little grill day here on the show. Make us some stuff. Get some like kebabs and some steak, some pineapple, a chicken or something like that. All right, this is Zach Gelb's show on the Infinity Sports Network.